Good morning, everybody. This is Howard Partridge with the amazing Ellen Rohr.
Hi.
How are you doing out there? Hey, if everybody would go ahead and type in the questions for staff that you can hear us okay and see us okay, that would be really better than phenomenal. I'm Howard Partridge, in case you don't know me. Maybe you came from Ellen's community. And my company's Phenomenal Products, so everything here is phenomenal. And I am so grateful to have Ellen on. I'm just going to be on for a couple of minutes, and we're going to turn it over to her because she's the rock star. And, man, I'm just so excited, Ellen, about what you're going to do here over the next 6 weeks. We just it has been life-changing for me, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. But good morning, Ellen Rohr.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to play with you. Howard and I have worked together for a long, long time, and you are one of my best friends, a great mentor to me, and just an inspiration. So it's an honor to play with you.
It's my pleasure, my pleasure. Okay. All right, so I got just a couple things I want to show you guys, and then I'm going to turn it over to Ellen. Let's see here. Let me get my PowerPoint screen up, and I'm going to go ahead and get off of video. Let's
okay,
see.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, so we are launching a webinar series with Ellen Rohr today called Phenomenal Team Building, A Better Way to Pay. And you're going to love today, and you're going to love the rest of the series, but what Ellen's going to do is she's going to unpack, you know, how to pay your folks. And she'll tell you all about what she's going to teach. But I wanted to share with you that I have been blessed to build a phenomenal team. We have about 40 team members all together. I have two main companies. One of them is a service company. And the other one is my coaching company, Phenomenal Products. This is my Phenomenal Products team right here. And then this is my team with my service company. And once upon a time, Ellen Rohr came along, and I had everything messed up. Not only did she get my financials fixed up and all that, but she did a program where I paid several thousand dollars. I want to say it was, you know, maybe $13,000 or $16,000 for her to help me with my compensation program, because that can either cost you a lot of money or make you a lot of money. And in my case, it was costing me a lot of money. And now it's making me a lot of money, because we've not only built a phenomenal team with Ellen's help, but we have the right compensation systems in place. So that's really all I wanted to say about it, and I am going to turn it over to Ellen Rohr. Let me figure out how I can do that. We got so many people on the line that I'm like, okay, how do I do this? Okay. Oh, there she is. Let me see. Make Ellen presenter.
There we go.
There you
go. Okay, well, let's show my screen, and I apologize in advance for any technical difficulties, because sometimes I get ahead of myself. But I think I can do this. How's that look? Can you see my form?
It looks better than phenomenal.
Better than phenomenal. That's and it's a new slideshow. So thanks for loving it, Caleb Merritt, one of our inner circle members who's like 19 years old and has run in a rockin' business, helped me put that together. So that's cool.
Awesome.
Hey, welcome to the program. And one thing I want to mention about Howard and I working together. Howard, you're such a great example of how I can be of the most service, because as we worked, you customized the program. I share philosophy and tactics, but when it comes to how you pay your people, you want to provide a solution that's going to work for you and your team, and you did just that. So I love the way you customized my stuff. You made it work for Phenomenal Products and your Clean as a Whistle team, and I could not be more proud of them and you. So thanks for embracing the coaching.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Yay. So today, you go, I know you've got some responsibilities today. We're going to take it from here, but you're welcome to jump back in if you can. So love, love, love.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you. And then, Victoria, if you want to send out a last minute blast again with the contact, you know, the dial-up information, that would be great. I just got an email from Josh, so let's make sure we can get everybody in. So welcome aboard. So excited to talk about this, to share my philosophy, strategy, and some solid tactics today. You're going to get some great information that you can use right now, and we're going to set the stage for helping you clean up, refine, simplify, and uncomplicate the way you pay your team. So if that sounds good, you're in the right webinar today. This is webinar number 1 of 6. We are recording it for those people who invest in the program, and Victoria will be putting the links up throughout the webinar today. If you're interested and you want to come on board, go ahead and link up. You'll get a recording of all of the programs. I'll show you a little more about that in a minute. Now, I've got us blocked off until 10:30 Central Time. Do the math for your own time zone. And I've got about an hour's worth of information, and then I'd like to open up the calls for questions. In the meantime, though, if I say something that sparks something in you and you want to ask a question, use the question box. I'll check on it periodically. And Victoria is going to help me check in as well to make sure that I make this program as real and relevant for you as I can. A requirement of today's class and all the webinars will be that you bring yourself to the party. I don't know what you need unless you share. And if you share, the squeaky wheel gets my attention. So I encourage you to embrace the live aspect of the show and get what you need out of today's class and the future webinars. Okay, let me click on this. All right. The simpler you make your business, the further you can take it. And that applies to every aspect of your business. Now, for those of you who've worked with me before, you know I'm a numbers girl, which is odd because I'm kind of dyslexic and shiny object and have no attention span. I'm an uber creative. But in my own business, I was sinking it. We were tanking it and going into debt. So I had to learn my asset from my elbow, and I have helped many other people figure out their financials and make them simple and uncomplicated. And if you joined us for the Financial Blast once upon a time about 6 months ago, this class is going to follow a similar format, and we're going to simplify compensation and bonus for you and your team members. Because when you do, you can get a lot more done in a lot less time with a lot less energy. When you're chasing after details, it wastes time and can move you away from your mission and your goal. So even as a shiny object girl, I've managed to do some pretty amazing things. I've helped all kinds of contractors, business owners. My favorite is Earl. One of my favorites, they're all my favorites, but one of my favorites, Earl, who's now 94 years old, if you can believe that, and his business plan includes $1 billion sales goal, which just warms my heart, selling a spice. I helped grow Benjamin Franklin from 0 to $40 million in under 3 years. I've got the scars to show for it, but what I learned there was that if we streamline and simplify the systems, including the compensation and bonus, we can put that in our rearview mirror and move on to the bigger game of helping people develop careers, helping customers solve problems. So good. And many of the techniques that I'm going to share today, I developed as I worked with that franchise and was under the gun to create something simple and scalable. So I like this picture. It's why I put it in the middle. But I've spent the last 20 years sharing my love of the dirty jobs industry, of the service industry, and how to make business uncomplicated. As you go through my program, my examples are going to be they're going to evidence my experience in the service industry. However, with a little tweaking, they're going to work for any industry because every industry has sales. Every industry has some kind of production. In other words, you make the sale, which is a promise, and then you have to make good on that promise. Those are areas where we can find bonus. If you do an extraordinary job at sales, if you do an extraordinary job at production, should you make more money? Should you be rewarded for going above and beyond? Go ahead and type in the question box if the answer is yes for you and your team. All right, if you go above and beyond, should you make more money? Should you be acknowledged and rewarded for that? Because that's my philosophy. Yes, 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 yes. And here's another question I want you to answer for me. Is it ever good enough for you? As the owner of the company, as a manager, is it ever good enough for you? Do your people know what good enough is? Ouch. And if you can answer no, that's being fair, okay? If they do know, or if you want to tie it down, let me know. Or just let this wash over you a little bit. You can type it in. I'm loving the participation. Is it fair that they know? Would it be good to move in the direction of understanding how do I know when I have done my job well enough to keep my position? And then above and beyond that, perhaps there's room for bonus and a sweetener on top. Fair enough? So that's my philosophy, is we should know what's good enough. We should be able to make more should we do more. And that the systems are fair and fun. So let me get into current day right now. I'm growing a franchise. I'm super excited about it. We're now up to 4 franchisees with 5 locations. And the principles that I bring are very much aligned with what I'm preaching and using in my own company. So this isn't theory. This is what I believe and use. Now, the reason why I'm so energized by this topic is that I have always been a fence testing, troublemaking person and employee. So while I have been a business owner, I've been an employee many, 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 many times. And from those experiences, I've learned how to do it wrong. So many times I was never seen or appreciated. I never knew exactly what my job was. I didn't know where the line was. So when I would cross it and there was no consequence from it, my boss may think I have a bad attitude or I'm trying to be a pill, but I just didn't understand the game. And if the game was laid out and it didn't seem like you were very committed to it, I would absolutely test that fence and get what I wanted out of the situation. So I bring that sensibility to our conversation. And a lot of times when you share with me what you do at your company, I'm going to hear it through the ears of an employee. All right? And that's a strength that I have that we can use to help customize a better way to pay for you. Now, I've seen on that question box, someone listed that my husband and I are the only employees. If you want to grow your company, this is a good program for you. If you're not sure, it could be a great program for you, because even as a one-person operator, you do need to work with subcontractors, like for bookkeeping or for your graphic design. We all need people in our lives to help us grow our business. But if you're a small company, oh, how delicious to not make a lot of the mistakes that the bigger companies on the call are now simmering in, right? So this is a great way to plan how you're going to pay your first employees if indeed you choose to grow. You want to get off on the right foot, Alecta, that's awesome. By the way, I'll use AA rules, which means I'll just use first names. And that way you can share with some anonymity. All right, so here's my buddy Howard, and I was mentioning before, Howard's a really great example of using my coaching to the best effect. There can be a little resistance to what I share. That's totally part of the process. If I lay something out and your initial thought is, whoa, I don't know if that'll work for me, I think that's natural, and I think that's good. You know, the idea of reaching for help and then feeling that resistance and then allowing yourself to get uncomfortable and try something new is what makes this process really impactful. So when I advised Howard on the way he pays, he does not pay exactly like I pay at Zoom. He didn't take my information hook, line, and sinker and just use it as is. And he and his team created something really, really meaningful. And what I was able to do for him and Johan and the team over at his companies was to simplify and show him where the traps are. Like, that can work. That can totally work. However, here's a potential problem with it. So understand that as we work together, I'm very excited to customize this program every step of the way. Okay, here are what the webinar is going to look like. The first one is the freebie. It's an intro. It's an overview. I'm going to share what happens in each class. The second one is called Assess the Mess. This is where you determine what you have already. Now, so for Alecta, you don't have a big mess already. That's pretty nice. You can start to plan and have less to do. Would that be nice? On the third webinar, I'm going to trot out scorecards, samples of scorecards that may inspire you to create one of your own, or you may use mine as is with a little bit of customization to get your team in on the game. Then the next webinar will talk about involving them. Has anyone ever gone to a seminar and they come back and they lay out to their team that there's a new way to do things and they are met with resistance? You come down like from the mountain with the tablets and you present them for your team, and it could be the smartest stuff in the world, but they don't like that they were not involved in the process. Has anybody had that experience? Let me know. And as I look at the questions and comments, Michael says he's a franchise. So, Michael, your franchise may have a recommended way to pay. You still, as a franchisee, and I'm a franchisor, so I know this, you still, as a franchisee, are going to determine how much they get paid and have a lot of flexibility over how they get paid. So I'm happy to help you simplify and amplify whatever the requirements are, and then you can edit and evolve the way you pay in a way that doesn't get you into trouble with your franchise. You don't want to do anything that's going to put you on the outside, right? So I'm respectful of that, but there is some information that we can help with. All right, so these are the webinars. We're not going to have a webinar on Thanksgiving week, but they are on Fridays with the exception of November 19th. That's on a Saturday because I'll be down at Ziegler's for that week, and I don't want to interrupt my training that week. So that one's going to be on a Saturday. They'll all be recorded. We're going to unpack the toolkit. In other words, get you lined up with the tools you're going to use, and then craft your plan for a better way to pay for 2017. You do not want to change the way you pay in a cavalier way. You don't want to go too fast. You don't want to ignore their needs and feelings as you do this. And even if you're a small company, there are going to be repercussions. If you hire your first employee and you do something, are you going to be held to that for all 20 of them? One of the guys that I just saw at the Inner Circle program had a very generous compensation program for his first employee. There's no way the company can sustain him offering that for every employee. Gulp. So now what do you do? So you want to make sure that you've got this planned and that your intention is to get this set up for 2017. Sometimes you go to a seminar and you get a radish, which means you can plan it and start seeing the results right away. And sometimes you go to a seminar or listen to a webinar like this, and you're going to get an oak tree. This is oak tree stuff. I've got some information that you can use right away. For the most part, creating a sound compensation and bonus program takes some time and planning. And we're going to do it right. 10-4. All right, so the dreaded holiday bonus. Let's talk about that because we are at the end of October. For those of you who gave a holiday bonus last year, I suggest that you do what you did last year this year because it's too late to change it. If you gave everybody $250, for instance, I'd do it again just like that because somebody's already put something on layaway counting on that $250. And we've all seen Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation. He gets the Jelly of the Month Club. You understand what could happen. A Christmas tree could go up in flames. So my tip for today is to deal with it this year and just get through it. But this can be a very, stressful moment for you and your team because you don't feel like, you know, they may be grateful perhaps. They don't feel like what they're getting is commensurate with what they're actually doing. The whole thing can just bring up a lot of awkwardness. So we'll address the holiday bonus for 2017. For this year, I suggest you do what you did last year, and you may announce that you're going to revamp the way you pay and ask them the questions that I've asked you. How many of you, or talk to them individually, do you think it would be a good idea to construct a way to pay that rewards you should you go above and beyond? And would it be a good idea to know what good enough is and where the point comes when you get kicked into a bonus or there's some commission opportunity? Ask them about the basic construct of your pay plan. What do you hate about it? Is it confusing? Do you understand it? If I were to ask you to tell me how you get paid, let's hear you do that. And if they can't, or if they take an hour and a half, know that the person who's waiting for them at home needs to be clear on how they get paid, as well as your team member. And the more complicated or weird or awkward it is, the less likely the person at home is to trust you. You may also, you don't have to write this in, but if you've ever had someone leave because their wife or husband or partner, whoever's at home, just tortured them about the job. You know what? I like working here, but my wife can't stand, how many hours I work, doesn't, like how much I get paid. I'm just going to have to move on. So as we revamp the way you pay, we're going to make it clear and transparent and fair the best we can. And we're going to include the family so that we get rid of some of the awkwardness of how you pay. All right, so we're going to just go through a little laundry list of the wrong way to pay. The wrong way to pay. These are things that I would recommend you don't do. And if you've done them already, we can fix them all right? So that's why you're here. But side deals are tough because you make a criminal out of the guy you make a side deal with. Let me give you a quick example. Bobby comes to your office at 5 p.m. and Friday night, and he says, listen, I need a raise. My wife is having a baby. I got offered another job. And so you cut him a deal. You pay him more than everybody else who does the same position gets paid. And you tell him, don't tell anybody. This is just between you and me. So what happens is, at some point, Bobby is going to be asked, how much do you get paid? Because I know, because I've been an employee a million times. They ask each other. And so then Bobby either has to lie or fess up, but in any event, you're putting him in a really awkward or almost criminal situation if he ends up lying. That's bad. So side deals are something we can clean up, but I'm going to encourage you to acknowledge if you've done it and commit to doing something better. A me versus you is when we set up a compensation program where one guy wins at another guy's expense. Breaking your sales team. This can happen when we just keep raising the bar on our top guy. More sales, please. Last year you did 500,000. Let's see if you can do 1 million this year, or whatever that bar is. You just keep raising it until they leave. Boy, I've had that happen to me. Sometimes we move someone up to management and they take a big cut in pay. Is that good? Well, they won't like it at home. Family rules. Do family members play by different rules at your company? Something to watch for as you're growing your company. Salary equals slavery. This is even in the news right now. Some of the big franchises, that if you move someone to salary, what the legal beagles in the world are saying is that that's an excuse for not paying them overtime. So salary should not equate working 80 hours a week for no additional money. If it's not fair, if I do the same job and I'm a woman and I don't get paid as much as a man, that's not fair. That is a problem. And you know what? We can fix that in this country and across the planet if we do it one company at a time. It's not transparent, meaning it's all super secret. No one's supposed to know. They always end up knowing and resentment simmer. And if it's not profitable, for those of you who have ever handed out bonus checks when you didn't get to write a check at all, you'll know what I mean by that. I write a check for yourself at all. Or you're going into debt to make your commitments for your bonus program. That's not cool. What I want to say about that is that you want to be operating at a known financial position. You want to be able to afford this. If you are in the inner circle, you haven't gone through the Financial Blast program, please do that. Note that we'll be offering that program again in January, which is kind of exciting. But my overarching advice is, as you restructure the way you pay, it's a nice time to recommit to your financial reporting so that you know the impact of changing the way you pay. It's your number one expense, and you can consider a price increase to your customers or restructuring of your menu system so that you can afford it. All right, so the overarching philosophy here is watch for rewarding the wrong stuff. I absolutely love this picture. This is the picture of a service manager's truck. The service manager's truck. And I was there to help them revamp the way they paid at their company. And we're walking through the yard, and I just like to see the truck, to see the level of discipline. We open up the back of the truck, and this is what we got. So we can start to revamp the way we pay by backing up and going to the basic disciplines. What is good enough for you? What is the standard? Showing up clean, sober, on time, dressed right, and willing to use the checklist is always a good starting point. As between now and the end of the year, you could refine those basic things we ask our employees to do and buy yourself a little time before you revamp the way you pay. That makes sense. So rewarding the wrong stuff would be to give this service manager some kind of bonus and compensation program that's going to be a move up the ladder when he hasn't mastered the basics yet. So a better way to pay is a good game. And my friend Jack Stack at The Great Game of Business used that word in such an honorable way. Everybody wants to play a good game, where there's a reason to play. There's some rules. There's rights. What can I do within the confines of the game? And what are the rewards? So thank you, Jack Stack, for helping me really embrace that, the gamification of the workplace. A better way to pay rewards the right stuff. So instead of rewarding the guy who threatens to quit and we're going to give him a raise, we make it clear if you want to raise and you want to move up the ladder, here's how you do it. And for someone who will put that kind of work in and take the career path that we've laid out, then they get more. I say it's equally unfair to everybody because I gotta tell you, life is not fair. We know that, right? So sometimes on any given day, the game may just not be fair. If you're in the sales world and you send a salesperson out on a call and the person isn't there and they drove halfway around the planet to get there, it's just it's no good to be you day kind of day. I'm trying to keep my language clean. Keeping it on the up and up. But sometimes it's just a bad day. You can't have too many bad days and you can't have too many bad weeks. And one of the things I communicate with my team is, and here's a little tip for you to take home today, let me know when the scales have tipped out of balance for you. Don't neglect to mention if you feel like you're getting the short end of the short straw too many times. Because sometimes my attention is focused on problems and I'm not paying attention to the guys who are just gutting up and doing something great every day. So engage your team in helping you make the way you pay fair by encouraging them to speak up when they think it isn't. A good way to pay is transparent and posted. If that makes you want to poop your pants, I understand, because daddy might have told you nobody should know how much anybody else makes. I just don't buy that anymore. And after so many years in the industry, in the small business community, what I found is that the sky does not fall if everybody knows what everybody else makes. And that includes the owners. Having said that, it is okay if the owners don't share exactly what they make. I understand that there are levels of transparency. But when it comes to the organizational chart and the people who work for you, my encouragement is to move in the direction of transparent and posted, and you can't do this instantly. It should be aligned with career development. In other words, as you move up the ladder, there is a path at our company to help you do that, and then there's increase in pay along the way. There's also a limit to how much you can make at this company, and I think we should talk real with our team about that too, that the way you pay is aligned with your mission, that don't do anything that makes your stomach hurt if your mission is all about values and doing the right thing. And then it should increase profitability. And none of this is going to happen right away. This is a juicy topic. I hope you're getting your arms around the scope of it. but it's something we should talk about, and I'm so glad that we're here today. All right, so let me share this story. This is my husband, Hot Rod. I love trotting out the old pictures of my boy. This is before we even got married. This is his best friend, Richard Yocks, and the two of them decided to go into business together. And one of the ways that you pay, or how this happens, is they decided to become partners right out of the gate. In their case, it worked out very well, but keep in mind that Yocks, I've told the story many times, Yocks died at age 33. So while that was an initial good way to start the company, in some ways I wonder if that partnership and that friendship would have survived, because over the years what I found is many, many times the partners change, and what worked in the beginning may not work always. If you've got a partner, this is a conversation and a challenging conversation that you might need to have, or that you're going to have at some point. My caution for today is be very slow to offer ownership at your company. Very slow to offer ownership at your company. And in the wise words of my pal and mentor, Al Levy, he says, know the way out before you go in. So if right now you're on the call and you're thinking of offering ownership to someone, I would put that on ice for a minute. I would pause it. Even if you said that's what we want to do, you can say, I went to the seminar and I realized that we've got to know the way out before we go in. In other words, how do you buy the other person out? How are you going to value the company? What happens at the point where someone, we call it the dreaded D's, death, divorce, disaster, disability, you know, and debt. Those things change everything. So if something happens, would you be able to get out of that ownership position? So for today, I just wanted to make sure that as we get started, don't rush into this. Let me take a minute and just look at the questions for a second. John, fair and transparent means that if the same people do the same job, they get paid the same amount, and we should define that. All right? And if they do the same job and someone exceeds, could there be a bonus or a compensation perk associated with this? Yes, if it's available to everyone. So if I have two salespeople, and they both have a goal of $250,000 in sales in exchange for X number of dollars, and they exceed that amount, that's where I put bonus. The house wins first and then the bonus. But the game is fair, meaning it's the same game for both of the people in the same position. That's an example. That's not the only way to do it, but that's an example. And transparent means that the people on the org chart know what each position on the org chart pays. It's posted. Like if you were a school teacher and you're in the union, you know how much you pay, get paid, and you know what getting that master's will do to your pay scale. Now, do you have to do that? No. My encouragement is you consider it. Fair enough? Seniority can affect pay. You could make seniority one of the requirements. However, have you ever had a young whippersnapper just blow the doors off of your company? Should he be are we rewarding the right stuff if we keep him from the higher levels if he's actually producing what a senior guy should make? So, James, it's a thought, right? Today, I want to get you thinking about the possibilities. We got to get creative before we edit. Don't go too fast in this process. Woohoo! All right, and then what do we have from Andrew? Okay. Andrew, yes, everything that I'm sharing is going to be very specific to a construction company. But you can't, you're going to love this. Andrew's asking, I pay $12.50 to $30 an hour and still can't get production up. This is such a good point. The way you pay is not intrinsically motivating. In other words, if you think if I pay him more, that will motivate him to do more, I have not found to be true for everybody. For a few people, it is. But production up is going to be a more complicated, not complicated, it's going to just have more variables. There's more variables there. Do you have operations manuals? Did the guys get involved in that? Can we train a guy from no skill to skilled at your company so we're not held hostage by the top guys? These are other pieces of the conversation that we're going to address during the course of our time together. Woo! Oh, Oh, I'm glad that this timing is perfect for you, James. Awesome. I'm glad you're on the call. Okay, so which way is best? Now, we're going to be sharing, I'm going to be sharing some of my prejudices about the different ways to pay, especially when we combine them with different positions on the organizational chart. But all of these ways to pay, hourly commission, bonus, contest, salary, subcontracts, ownership, profit sharing, all of them have a use. But they're like having a set of kitchen knives, right? The knives have different purposes, but a knife can cut successfully or it can hurt you. All of them have downsides. So there is no perfect way. I'm not going to say hourly is the best way to pay in all circumstances. And you and I may disagree. I might say, I'd pay that guy hourly. And you go, yeah, but I've already talked to him about commission. We're going to do it this way. And I will say, okay, so here's what to watch for. Here's where what it will and won't do. Here's the challenge with that particular knife in your knife set. So we will be addressing these. And oh, I don't know what I just did. Sorry about that. Let me try this again. And move that. Yeah, sorry. I've got a Mac, and sometimes my mouse just kind of freaks out on me a little bit, and I'm saying it like I am doing something freaky with the mouse that would make it do that, but I apologize. Let me get back in. Let me get back in business. All right. I don't know what flag hours are, Alecta, so I'm going to learn something today. So go ahead and type in a little bit more about what that means. It might be something I know, but under a different name. All right, so we're going to customize these things as we go. So can you see that I'm going to present information, and then you're going to give me feedback. So as we meet webinar after webinar, we will review at the beginning of the call. I'll add new content, and then we're going to open it up to Q&A. And we're going to have a Facebook page. You're going to be able to email me in between. You can send me over your stuff. I'm going to make this very interactive. And for those of you who have worked with me in this webinar setting, I'll let you know if you're asking too many questions or you're taking too much of my time. So far, I've never done that. Okay? I don't think people use me enough, that I'm making myself available and I want to help you. Everything that I'm going to do, I will be thinking in my head, how can I simplify this for them? How can I uncomplicate it for you so that the guys understand it, the gals who work with you understand it, and the person at home understands it? All right? And if it doesn't work, you can redo it. So we're not going to come up with something necessarily that you'll have for the rest of your lives, but we'll get you kicked off for 2017. That is my intention. Now, as you look at your organizational chart, I like this picture because this is one of my clients. As they were assembling their organizational chart and their position descriptions, they used a technique that I teach where you use post-its to put like tasks together and start to assemble your org chart. This is something I'll be sharing in the weeks to come. But for each position on the org chart, you could find a great way to pay. Don't try and do everybody at once. My suggestion is that right now you pick a position on your org chart and you're going to fix that one. All right? Now, other people are going to pick other ones, so you're going to learn and you may get some bonus. But I think a really great outcome of our time together is that you get one position dialed in. Now, which position? My prejudice is to get the sales team lined up first. Always, always, and without apology. Because until a sale happens, nobody has anything to do. And I also believe that the person who is willing to ask for the sale at your company, it's kind of nerve-wracking, right? You hand them the pen and there's the paper and you say, would you like me to get started? And you shut up and you sit there while your armpits are filling full of sweat. I've made sales before, can you tell? And that person, that skill set, is the one that I want to get lined up. I want to make that one work first, if I were to choose. So if you have salespeople or if you have service techs who sell, so a carpet cleaner goes out and he's got the opportunity to make add-ons right there, that's the position I would focus on first. Next, this is one, if I were to work with you as a consultant, that's what we'd do. Next up, or side by side, if you can pull it off, I would address the installer or the production crew. So this is the, say the carpenter, Andrew, who you've bid a job with so many hours in the job, can we create a game for that person? How can we make that game transparent and fair and perhaps motivating to the person who wants to make more money? So installation and production. Now, the cool thing about those two positions is they're fairly easy to keep score in, to determine, you know, sales is an easy number to track. Build hours or hours in a project is a fairly easy number to track. You can job cost very simply in an uncomplicated way. Now, the office team members, we could address that too. And, you know, like say elective, the first person you're going to hire is someone in the office. We got to get that lined up. Easy peasy. That one we can do. Here's something to keep in mind for everybody on the call. Sometimes there's a top of the ladder and we never talk about it. So for instance, the people in the office, if Susie stayed with you for 35 years, could she make $250,000 answering the phone? Do we need that? Would that work? No. So I think it's fair to say to people, and this is something we'll address, again, you know, think about this before you change anything at your company. But consider clarifying what the top of the ladder is. For instance, in the office team, when you start, we pay $12 an hour for X. And as you achieve mastery over different positions on the org chart, there's a raise associated with those additional positions, and it tops out at 20 or 18. We have flexibility. We've got a cool thing. You can work part-time. You can layer on additional features to employment at your company, but I think we got to get real as to what the job is and what it is ultimately going to be worth. And what I found as an employee over and over again is I just want people to be real with me. Because otherwise, what I'll do is I'll hit you up at 5 p.m. on a Friday and I'll work my magic on you and I'll get my raise, but it's going to make me feel weird and you feel weirder. Make sense? Okay, now, for some of you, Josh, yay, I'm glad you made it to the call. For some of you, there's not that many ladders. There may only be one or two, so this again comes back to, let's be real, what is it that we can do? Okay, now I'm going to tell you a story that'll encourage you. If you are on the call and you're thinking, man, I have made a bit of a mess, I've got a lot of different games going on, I want to tell you the story of Sam. Now, Sam is one of my clients and best friends forever, and he probably holds the distinction of having the greatest turnaround story of any company I've ever worked with. But one of the challenges he had challenges in every area of his business, and now he sits at $8 million with more than 15% net profit in his plumbing, heating, and electrical company, and I could not be more proud of this guy. He's turned every bit of it around. But particularly when it came to the way he paid, he had 25 service men in his company at the time, servicemen and women who were out there knocking on doors and doing plumbing, heating, and electrical work. And each of them had a different way they paid. Everyone, 25 different ways. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, let's just write all that down. And then I said, now, what do you expect of them? Uniforms, yeah, there's different variations of uniforms at different levels of the company. Do you drug test? And he says to me, yeah, we drug test except for the drain cleaners. Who would do that job if you weren't high, is what he told me. Now, as the president of Zoom Drain and Sewer, a company that drug tests, as a recovering person myself, I'm not buying it. But that's where he started. And bit by bit, we lined up the current way he paid. We put like positions together. We created a salary level. We talked to everybody individually. We set a date out in the future where the ladder was going to be completed. And it was so much easier than I thought it was going to be because the team wanted to move in the direction of fair and transparent. Just tell me what this is going to be. And the only time, once you line this up, the only time you get into trouble is when you then ball it up again. So another one of my clients in a similar situation to Sam streamlined everything in the office and in the field, but then this happened in the office. He had transparency, he had the better way to pay, he had everybody lined up, if you do this, you get this. All the people in his office were women. He hired a man, and he paid that man more than any other woman in the office. And he didn't think that was going to be any kind of big deal. I will tell you what, that is a huge deal. That still makes me want to, it just still gets my dander up. Fair enough? All right, so you can fix it even if you made a mess. Okay, now, big panties. That means if you're going to play with me, your responsibility is to make sure you're getting some advice from a legal expert, from a human resources expert. Do not come back to me and say, I did this and then I got into trouble and I got sued. It happens. You may get sued in your career. That's one of the risks you take. Everything that I share with you should pass muster unless I'm miscommunicating, but that's a risk. So my encouragement is, remember, this is one woman's view. This is just from my experience and strength and hope, and I've got some great stuff to share for you, with you. However, you're in charge of making sure that what you do is going to pass muster in your state, in your company, etc. So you decide ultimately how you're going to pay, and you take that responsibility. That's my disclaimer for today. All right, so we're going to zip through what the different webinar topics are going to be so you can get an idea of the overall direction of the course. It is going to be fluid, like there won't be a specific start and stop to each one. I will adjust as we go depending on the group and what you need. But this very first one is the intro and the overview. Hey, I wanted to share this picture to get, this was kind of a neat philosophical moment for me. I went to an art museum, always a good idea to expand your mind, and I saw this installation on the wall. Does anybody want to take a swing at what they think that is? Take a swing. Go ahead and type in the question box what you think that is. Fabric or paper? Yeah, it looks like, to me it looked like a piece of fabric, like something woven. Dishcloth, wrinkled shirt, old drapes. Okay. So that's the fabric, and then as you get your nose right to this, all right, so this is the piece, and then I walked up and put my nose, you're not supposed to touch anything in an art museum, of course, but I put my nose right up to it, and the whole thing was made of pictures of people, little tiny pictures of people. Isn't that cool? And art is great because you get to interpret it as you like, but what hit me like a ton of bricks is that this is like culture at a business. This is like the aura or the atmosphere of a business. It looks one way because of how the people have made it. So ultimately at your company, do they want to play for you? Will they put up with something that is slightly unfair? Will they wear the itchy uniform? All of that is yes if they believe in the mission. They believe in you. They believe that they're doing something that matters. They're not being asked to do something that they feel is slimy. Right? Everything about this better way to pay is within the greater context of you honoring, respecting, and developing the people at your company. So this is part of the overall philosophy. Isn't that cool? Isn't a beautiful piece of Fluffy old boxers, Scott, you nut. Fluffy's old boxers. I don't even want to know who Fluffy is after that. So as you, the second webinar, what we're going to do is get specific about addressing what you've got. It may or may not be a mess, but mess rhymes with assess, so I thought it would be clever. But, you know, some of you do have a mess, some of you don't, but we're going to lay out what you have. So if you want to be somewhere else, if you want to be in the direction of a better way to pay, I laid out what that would look like. And if what you've got is not that, we're going to assess where we are so that we know what we could focus on and move on to help us go in the direction of what we want. It's how business works, it's how life works. Oh, the stand-up comic, that's funny. All right, so this slide reminds me to tell you the story. I went to West Point. I spoke there. It was just an incredible experience. And one of the other speakers was General Russell Honoré, who was the leader who made some sense of the rescue of New Orleans after Katrina. And he's an amazing military man. And I'm a peaceful girl, man. I am not hawkish at all. And I wasn't sure that I was going to resonate with some of these military leaders. This guy is such an incredible humanitarian. It was so inspiring. And what he said is, your soldiers will go to bat for you if they believe in the mission and if there's a way that they win. Like, it can't be throughout time the leaders who've asked their soldiers to do extraordinary things and then kept the spoils of war to themselves have had an uprising. We've got to care for the people who work for us in such a way that their goals and dreams are met. Howard Partridge does this perhaps better than any person I've ever met. In other words, what he does is he always aims to find out what motivates and what is driving the people who work for him, and he helps them get what they want. Now, he doesn't compromise his integrity. He doesn't change the rules to fit them. If they're not a good fit for his company, he will have that conversation. But if there's a way that their goals and dreams align with yours, and you guys can help each other out on the way to victory or on the way to your mission or your goals, then that's when it gets really, really delicious. So part of assessing the mess is to start to talk to the guys and ask them what they really, really want, guys and gals, out of life. Another tactical tool we're going to use in next week's webinar is the organizational chart. Now, you could get your nose right up against this. This is an org chart from Zoom Drain. It's not the current Zoom org chart, but it's one I had. Now, if you work with Howard, remember that Howard talks about directors, managers, and what's the last level? Somebody help me out. Victoria or someone who works with Howard, there's three basic levels of requirement for people and leaders at your company. What is that one? The tech. Okay, thanks, Tanya. Okay, so the directors would perhaps be at this level here. And then the managers might be the field supervisor level, and then the techs here. What I found with Howard's org chart, and this is just me having a difference of opinion, is I think you need a little more detail. How do we move up the ladder within those three broad branches? So my philosophy is not at odds with Howard, is that I think you need to get a little more specific as to what those positions are within those three main areas. So for instance, Tanya, at your company, I would suggest that there's some level of tech development, even if it's two. There's junior tech and senior tech. At Zoom Drain, we have apprentice, tech, senior tech, and then ultimately field supervisor, and then service manager. At field supervisor, you're moving into manager level, and at service manager, you're at director level. So these concepts aren't at odds, but what I would like you to explore, if you're an overachiever and you're going to participate in the program, go ahead and get your org chart or mock one up. I'm happy to review your org chart. Next week, I will be adding to the page that we've got with your resources on it some information about how to create an org chart and an org chart sample, and here's one. But wouldn't it be, doesn't it make sense that ultimately we make clear that if I start here as an apprentice, that I know what the tech level would pay and what I would need to do to get there? And then if I wanted to go to senior tech, what does it pay and how do I get there? Right? So you can go, this is an older one. We have only the two levels here. Now we have three. We went apprentice to service tech, to senior service tech, to ultimately field supervisor where you're starting to manage a crew. Now, I'm trying to remember who it was. They have a company where they sell cell phones. There may be just new kid and experienced kid. You could call it something else. I call it junior. At Benjamin Franklin, we called it junior tech, because I wanted that guy to go home and tell whoever was waiting for him at home that I'm a junior tech, so the person waiting for him at home would say, how do you become a senior tech? I want people to move up the ladder. The fabric of our company is that you don't get to hang out at apprentice forever. You have to demonstrate that you can move up to a good enough level of service tech that you're responsible for X number of sales. So our culture is such that somebody can't hang out as a lower performer. They have to be able to move up or they won't be able to stay in our position. Oh, that's Gabrielle? Okay, excellent. Thank you, Scott. All right, so that assessing the mess would be then, this is what I did with Sam and all of my clients and our own company, is I would mock up the org chart and put who is getting what now. This is done privately or with the person you're working on this project of a better pay, way to pay with. Don't post it yet. Assess it. Fair enough. Questions, comments, that's what's going to happen. We're going to dig into that deeper next week. Then on webinar number three, I'm going to unleash some scorecards. Here's ways to keep score. But more importantly than using my actual scorecard will be, here are some samples. Let's talk about how to measure performance in your position. None of what I talk about in terms of how you get paid is ethereal. I don't give people raises based on attitude. I don't even know what that is. I don't know how you would measure that. This is, you know, even with seniority, seniority is objective. I want to make the way you pay not open to argument. I want to make it as objective as possible. There are some weird things. There's days when stuff isn't fair already. So I don't want to add to the confusion by making it an objective way to get paid. Well, he's a really good guy, so we decided to give him a raise. I don't understand that as a troublemaking employee. You see what I'm saying? So we'll talk about how to keep score. Then webinar number four, we're going to dig in engaging the team in the process of revamping the way you pay, and then buy-in for your rollout. Really good stuff. I put on this picture up. I put my vision board up. Understanding what motivates your team, what are their goals and dreams, is so important for you to successfully engage a better way to pay. And I've got some great ideas for how to do that. And then webinar number five is going to be the overarching toolkit. How do you put all the pieces together specific to your company for at least one position on the org chart? So I'm going to lay out, there's more than just the way you pay. There's keeping score. There's the manuals that you might need to engage. There's the information that you have from a group that you belong to, say the inner circle, or some other resources you might already have in your company that we're going to stitch together so that you can then kick off the better way to pay, and this is where you're going to plan it out, put the meetings on the calendar, etc. So I make it look really orderly. It is going to be it's going to be different for each of you, depending on where you are, the type of company you have, and what you decide to do. Like each one of you is going to end up with a custom approach to your company, even if there's, you know, if you decide to do it just like I do it. That's easy, if that works for your company. And Sean, yeah, I can show you the scorecard again. You'll have to get your nose right up there. This will be one of the tools that I give away. This is an Excel spreadsheet. You can customize these, make them your own. This is what we use for service techs with a lot of the clients I work with. All right, give you a little idea of that. Fun stuff. Okay, we're getting to the top of the hour. And we're going to be breaking for additional questions. Let me tell you a couple more stories. So this is my friend Mark Pop, and he worked with me, and he worked with another consultant, Al Levy. Al Levy also worked with Howard. Al's just a mensch of a guy, a perfect man. He's just a really great consultant, and he called me in to work with Mark. He was working with Mark already, but he told me that when he found Mark was 32 years old. He said he walked into his office and Mark literally had his head on his desk. His company was in disarray. He was doing a lot of non-profitable work, so he didn't make any money. This is stressful, right? This is frustrating. And his guys are asking him for raises. He doesn't know what to do. So Mark sets about completely revamping his company. And I'll tell you that over the course of the next 10 years, he had literally 100% employee turnover. Well, I don't want to say 100% because there are two guys who still work with him who've worked with him for the last, say, 16 years or however long he's been in business. But there can be some challenges. Not everyone who's on your team is going to make it. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Is there already someone who may have to go? Because if he's to change, if his vision is to change, it may not work for the guys who work with him. Now, it's interesting, though, because as he went through this metamorphosis, this is the guy who'd been nearly, you know, he was at about $5 million in sales. He shrunk down to $2 million in sales. And this year, I think he's going to do $12 million. He's just absolutely rocking it. In Iowa, in a town in Iowa that all I ever saw was corn. So, I mean, he's just an amazing guy. But specific to our conversation, what happened is he decided that he was going to start growing his team from scratch, that he would build the foundation of his company. He got his financial house in order. He wrote his operations manuals. Now, what's cool about being part of a group is you can edit the manuals that Howard has. Or maybe you've got manuals that are just dusty on the shelf that you could drop off again. But what's important about that is that when you hold team members accountable to standards, those standards become your training curriculum, and you help a person with no experience get good. Now, some of you on the call may go, oh, that won't work in my market area because it takes 5 years to get someone good. Well, 5 years from now, you'll either have completely created an engine where you can get get people good, or you'll be in the same position. This is oak tree stuff. So Mark decided he was going to build an oak tree. So now at 42 years old, this work is behind him. He's got manuals, he's got a training center, he's got a transparent salary level of opportunity at his shop. Everybody knows what everybody else gets paid. You move up the ladder, some people work out, some people don't. But now he's got, you know, I think he's got over 30 service trucks rolling in his town. When he started doing this, there was heartbreak after heartbreak. People were leaving, guys didn't get it. Mark says, now I wish I'd operated then the way I do now, because some of the guys who left were really good guys. They just weren't seeing my vision, and it wasn't clear enough yet, so I had to say goodbye. But he kept after it. The first time he rolled out the new way he was going to pay, he started a training class with some junior guys. He had 7 guys in the class. All 7 of them washed out. I know this sounds discouraging, but I want to share with you that when you get really, really clear on what you want, and when you raise your standards and you're willing to document those standards and help people get good and pay them in a way that's commensurate with their effort, ultimately you will create a vortex of excellence that magnetizes right stuff people to come work for you. So now Mark doesn't look for guys. There's a line of guys who can't wait to work at this awesome company. One of the things he did was he rebranded his company to be Golden Rule, because he's a religious guy and he believes in the Golden Rule, and he established the rules to live by at his company. Rules: respect, understanding, leadership, expertise, and service. Oh, sorry, loyalty. L is for loyalty. Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service is how he teaches his values to his team. So I share this story because if you're willing to plant the oak tree, this foundation that you're laying down with a better way to pay and creating a culture, a fabric at your company where we take care of people and help them move them up the ladder and help them achieve their goals and dreams, it's perhaps ultimately the most rewarding thing you could ever do. This is one happy man right here these days, and he makes my heart sing. All right, here's one more story, and then I'm going to open it up to Q&A. See this guy in the white shirt? This is Steve. And I walked into Zoom. Now, this is a drain cleaning company, and can you see the shine on the floor? Can you see the standards that are held to at this company? This is my franchise, Zoom Drain and Sewer. These are my partners in Philadelphia. I could not be more proud of this company. Everybody knows what everybody else gets paid. There's a ladder of opportunity, and Steve is evidence of it. Let me tell you his story. Once upon a time, when Zoom wasn't quite as good, but still pretty good, a drain cleaner went to Steve's place of business, where Steve was working at a mailroom. He was working in a pharmaceutical company, and a Zoom technician arrived to clean the drains. And Steve, at the time, was married, pregnant wife, working 3 jobs, not getting overtime on any of them because he had 3 jobs. Working himself ragged, knowing he's going nowhere, and he turns to this drain cleaner and he says, do you like your job? And the drain cleaner said, I love my job. I make great money. I'm moving up the ladder. I love my job. I love the company. I love the people. So Steve, with absolutely no experience, comes to work at Zoom Drain. Now, Zoom Drain at this time was just getting their ladder of opportunity lined up. And Steve was one of the first guys, there are a few and they're still at the company, which is so super cool, was one of the first guys who was put on the ladder as an apprentice, and the path was laid out for him, what it was going to take to get to the tech level, and he took those steps. Now Steve is the service manager, and Zoom Drain has 18 service techs, plus a, they also have an install department, and we're tracking $6 million at Zoom Drain in Philadelphia. And now his job is to take this class, these four guys are all apprentices, and they're going to the apprentice to tech level under his care. I walk into the shop, and I said to him, like I always do, hey, and they all turned around and said, hey, back. Is that adorable? They're training with the manuals, and these guys know when they graduate what their pay raise is going to be and what the expectation will be for them to move on to the next level and get part of the bonus game. So, you know, I want to paint the big picture that no matter what you've done at your company, it's fixable, that the opportunity to create careers, not just jobs, at your company is so worth taking some time to plan and coordinate the way that you pay. Fair enough? And my job is to help you uncomplicate it, to simplify it, to make it as easy as possible for you to implement the great tools that I have ready for you. All right, so here's what you get. Should you sign on to the program, and I hope you do, you get 6 webinars. This is the first one. You get to it's going to be recorded, and you can listen to it anytime, and you can share it with team members as appropriate. I've got a checklist. I've got these next two things in purple because they're worth the price of admission alone. I created a checklist. I've never done this before. I'm super proud of it. It's customizable. It's a Word document that you can edit and customize as we go through our journey together. And it's how you're going to tick off this project so that you know the steps that you need to take and you can add the sub-steps as needed so that you can keep track of your progress of overhauling or establishing a great way to pay at your company. Super excited about the checklist. What's that worth? Well, it took me about 25 years to create it, you know, based on my experience. And then I've also got for you a customizable employee manual. So does anybody have an employee manual where you actually lay out the days that you're supposed to work, the hours, the expectation, the uniform requirements, what harassment means at the company, what the vacation and holidays are? Does anybody have one of those that every person at their company has? Okay, sort of. Okay, Andrew. You know, I know some clients who've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on creating an employee manual. Mine is one that you would just replace your name into it. You can find and replace your company name into it. You can go through every page and edit it. It is infinitely easier to edit than to start from scratch. You would want to show it to your human resource person, whoever that is. Find a state agency if you need to help you go to SCORE, or talk to a legal attorney, a labor attorney, and get some help. But once you have this manual, then between now and the end of the year, what you can do is ask for some freeze on the way you pay. What I would do if you're going to engage in this program is to say to my team, I'm going to just park raises and other considerations for how we pay between now and the end of the year. We're going to slow down. Now, if you've made a promise already, you got to make up, you got to live by that promise. But if people are asking you, what I would say is, I'm going to take between now and the end of the year to work on how we could create a better way to pay. And I'm going to start with this position. I'm going to start with the salespeople, or I'm going to start with the people in the office. You make this decision. And I'm going to need some help as I do that. You know, you're going to get some buy-in just by engaging them. And between now and the end of the year, we're going to clean up some basic rules of the game. It's time for us to revisit the employee manual if you already have one, or to release one and roll one out if you don't. We'll get more. I'll share a couple more thoughts about this on the webinar next week. But those two tools are worth 10 times, maybe way more, than the selling price of this program, which is $597. So that's why I just wanted to underline that for those two reasons alone, I'd sign up for this course. And I also have scorecards, forms, tools, sample position descriptions. I've got some sample rules of the game that as you create a bonus or compensation program based on performance, you've got to lay out what the rules are, put them in writing. I've got some samples. We're going to participate in a Facebook group. I love this. Help each other out. You're going to have email access to me and Howard. Howard's also going to be participating. I will have additional live office hours that are just Q&A. You just get to come and say, oh, I did this and it kind of blew up on me, or I'm going to do this. What do you think before I do? Lots more. It's going to be a collaborative effort between you and me and we, so we can help each other come up with a better way to pay for 2017. So you will, I want you to see as you get this, you know, what do you get? It's delivered via this replay page. So should you sign up today, anytime you sign up, but the page is ready to go. The recording from today's webinar, as soon as we stop and Victoria has a chance to record it, will be communicated to you. So you're going to click on a page, you get the page, and then each webinar recording will be listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as we record them. And then the tools are going to be added week after week. And the first few tools that I have up is the checklist. Super excited about that. I've got a copy of the Bare Bones Biz Plan, which is a book that I wrote about putting a business plan together, and there are a few chapters that are awesome resources to give you more information about some of the tools and philosophy that I share. I will reference this book throughout our program together, and you're welcome to read it and share it with your team. And then I've also got that customizable employee-employer manual at the ready. So these are already loaded up on the page, ready for you to go, and we'll have this webinar up. Usually give Victoria about 24 hours, and then she loads up that page. So Victoria, if you would put in the chat box and the question box the link to buy the program, it's $597, a bargain. What? And if you are an Inner Circle member already, you'll pay $497. So Victoria, just pay attention. I'll put you in charge, if you would please, of negotiating those waters. If you are an Inner Circle member, make sure you indicate that to Victoria, if you want to come on board. Now, what I would love to do, oh, Andrew, it's 11 years, a phenomenal product, so awesome. Okay, this is worth the price alone, that employee manual. Oh, are you kidding me? It's just ridiculous how much time and money I've spent on employee manuals, and you are... just setting yourself and your team up to fail if you don't start establishing some standards. What is good enough for you? And the employee manual is just one piece of your overall operations manual, but we start with the basics, and that's a great exercise to implement between now and the end of the year. And then as you communicate to your team, have them read it with you, read it aloud at the meetings, go over sections together and individually, and start holding folks accountable to the basic disciplines. That's when you can also have a conversation with them individually and in a group, always positive, but, you know, allow them to express what they don't like about how they get paid and write it down, what they do like, what they don't want to change. You can have these conversations privately and in a group as you see fit. Okay, so, oh my gosh, there are a lot of questions, and I want to open up the phone lines a little bit. This sometimes works if you've got a... if you've got a connection where I can hear you, and it sometimes doesn't, and we'll have to have you call in. And if not, if it doesn't work either way, we'll just do it by writing back and forth. Thanks for being with me, Tommy. Yay. The dates of the webinars are, well, they are going to be recorded, Clint. So if you're going on vacation, yay you. They will be recorded, and they're going to be on Fridays, starting today is the first one. Friday, every day except for November 19th, which is a Saturday that week. The following week is Thanksgiving. We're taking the week off. And then there'll be two more classes on December 2nd and December 9th. All right. Jennifer, I'm going to have you talk to Victoria. Victoria, check in with Jennifer about how to become an Inner Circle member. Okay. Does your top wage change each year with the adjustment of the cost of living? It can. You could say that this is the top of the ladder and we will adjust 3 to 5% every year for cost of living, or it depends on the needs of your customers. It depends on the culture of your company. At some point, are they going to be required to make bonus to increase their workable wage? Is that an option for the salespeople? Are there different positions in the company that they could move into that are going to pay more? At some point, your job can top out. So we would talk about that specifically, Cindy, but think about that. And it's better to be real than to have someone have this idea that every year they're just going to make another $3 an hour raise because that's what's happened the last 3 years. Okay, let me get, I want to ask employee manual, oh, yay, okay, good. James already customized our financial blast, which is awesome. Hey, Alecta, I'm going to try and get you on the phone, okay? Hello, darling. Can you be heard?
Good morning. I can hear you.
Okay, so look at Wise You. You're on a webinar before. I've never done anything before I fell in the hole and got hurt. Every time I did something cool, I got hurt first, or the pain of the condition was so bad that I thought I got to change. But look at you. It's the two of you, and you're looking ahead as far as how you can pay the people on your team. That's pretty awesome.
Well, sometimes you can observe the mistakes of others.
Well, you're smarter than me, and so I know you're going to help me here, too. What was the flag hours that you were talking about?
Like automotive mechanics get paid flag hours. Like they get paid to like redo a transmission. You know, it's expected to take X number of hours. So if they do it faster, then they have the opportunity to make more money. But if it takes them longer, then they're making less per hour.
Okay, now there's a couple, I understand the concept. I've heard it described as piecemeal work before. Flag hours is actually their term for it. And let me just take an opportunity here for a moment to get specific to that. So like as we go through this program, there's going to be philosophy and strategy, and then there's going to be moments where I just like tackle a specific option. That's a knife in your knife drawer, right? And it's got some advantages. So the advantage to it is that it's going to kind of monitor my labor costs, right? So if he doesn't work very fast, I'm not going to pay him very much.
Right.
Okay? And for the guy who's a real amp dog, he could make more money. The guy who's ambitious and motivated by that could be a really great benefit. The other side of the knife, and just to watch out for, is there is not a way to pay that is self-managing. So if I have a guy on my team who's not moving very fast, I may be paying him less, but here's the danger. Time's marching on. That guy has to get so many engines done in a day, or I'm going to lose money.
Right.
So that can happen with a straight commission pay, too. So I'm going to pay these guys straight commission, and that way if they don't sell, I don't have to pay them. But I need X number of sales every month. So
that's
the
true.
Other side of that knife is if you choose to do that, your responsibility is to get a guy good enough. So what is the minimum acceptable level of flag hours in a day? Okay?
Okay. Uh-huh.
One more thought, and this is going to apply to people who pay commission or piecemeal and subcontractors and some other things. Make sure the way you pay passes muster. So, for instance, there was a company in California who paid by the billed hour, same thing. So every hour they billed their customer, they got X number of dollars for. But then they paid them minimum wage if they showed up for a meeting, and it got confusing. So, one, that's like a slice of that knife that cuts deep. But the other piece is they got sued by the state of California because a guy who wasn't making very much but was available to work for 40 hours that week, it wasn't equating to minimum wage for that guy.
Oh.
You see what I mean? So you do want to have, especially with something like that, the safest way is to pay people by the hour and then to pay them overtime according to your local states. In California, you have to pay over 8 hours a day as overtime. In some states, it's over 40 hours a week. That's where most people are. But, you know, be aware of the fact that hourly is safe. It's why I go back there a lot, and it's also easy for him to go home and tell his wife, I make X dollar an hour. Now, if you have someone on your team, you're paying by the hour, but he's not producing, and this might be where, Andrew, you were coming from. get them good or get them gone is one of my philosophies. It isn't okay for a person on your team to be bad. It's not good for their soul. They could go win somewhere else. So an underlying philosophy of mine is that we get guys good, get people good. I feel like I'm so sexist when I keep saying guys, but we get people good on our team, good enough. We define what good enough is, and we love them when they can hit those goals, and should they exceed those goals, they get paid more. But how good is good enough, and how do we get people there? What kind of training and manuals and systems are we going to need? Now, I'm not going to – that's not where I'm going to go deep dish, but I'm going to be keep referring to that, and that's where Howard stuff is great, or I have – you know, I know consulting friends who can help you in addition, or if you're in another group, that's fine. Use the resources that you have. I love the Inner Circle. That's why I'm partnering up with these guys. All right, but there may be other areas of your business that end up – needing to be addressed as we go through this journey together. So I will also be sharing some tips for assembling that master list of projects and identifying a few top projects that are going to help you get this thing done. That's what we're going to do with the toolkit and kicking off the game plan, is to make sure you're organized as to which projects you're going to engage first and how to kick those off and successfully and delegate them as you can.
Okay.
So yay, I'm super glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad
Yay.
To be here too.
Any other question for you?
Not right now, no.
Okay. Love, love. All right. And let's see if I can get Jose on the call. Is Jose still here? Now, Jose, you are on mic and speaker. Ooh, I don't think I can hear you. Go ahead and say something, Jose. Oh, there's two Jose's, three Jose's. Which Jose is it? Oh, Jose E. I don't think I can hear you, but Jose has a really great question. He says, what's the best way to pay a salesperson? And my answer is going to be, it depends, but let me just share a little bit of philosophy about it and what I'm going to suggest. Number one is, I do recommend that you consider that the salespeople at your company have the potential of making more money than anyone else. All right, now no matter what anyone else does at your company, it could be valuable. I'm not saying it isn't. It takes a team. It takes a village. But for the person who's willing to ask for the sale, we want that to be a position that will attract competitive people who really like that position and want to be rewarded for doing more. Now, could you pay them straight commission? You could. Could you pay them a base salary with the potential of making commission? Absolutely. Would I have a level one salesperson until he gets good enough and then up his bonus should he achieve some certain objective measurements? He's made X number of sales. He's got a close rate of this much. His jobs come in at or below bid. I might give him a little test drive period and then make him a level two salesperson where I would kick up the commission a notch. So those, I'm going to give you some examples, some real world stuff, some scorecards that lay into that. And then what I'd like you to do is share with me what you've done that works that you want to keep, or what you've done that you don't like that you want to fix, and we'll address how we could transition that. Does that make sense? So let me know, Jose, if I helped you. And yeah, you're going to have to type it in. Inside sales and outside sales different? I would talk to my team about that, Lee. Let me get you on the phone. That's really cool. That's a good question. Okay, Lee, let's see if you can be heard. Oh, I can.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how are ya?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. Okay, well, tell me more about inside and outside sales at your company.
Well, I have one person who basically runs our entire office, who handles answering the telephone and scheduling appointments that the clients want to book at the time when they're talking on the telephone. She also does an incredible amount of administrative duties. She works 40 plus hours a week. And then I have one person that's in the outside department that does our networking and goes out and does the price quotes that for a client that didn't want to schedule on the telephone or had a special circumstance needed to be looked at. So.
Okay, well, and you have a cleaning company, right?
That's correct.
Okay, now here's an added bonus of being part of this session, this work, is Howard's partnering with me, and there are ways that Howard and his team pay that I imagine he is going to be willing to share, which is going to be really cool. So we could look at someone who has a cleaning company and look at the way they do it. Have you studied the way he pays his people?
I have, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that's a shortcut if that appeals to you because he has those positions. But let me just talk in some general terms, and then we'll wrap up by the bottom of the hour. One is, let's define a sale. A sale is when you get a signature and the money. You get agreement and the money. And if it's over the phone, do we get the money?
No.
So I don't call that sales. And I would not pay that the same as the guy who's going to get the signature and the credit card or the cash or the check. And that's just my philosophy. Could I reward them for booking calls? Oh, you bet. But there is a higher skill level required if I'm going to actually say, great, we can get you started. What's your credit card number? Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Yeah, and so if that's the case, if there are some things we could sell in the office where we're actually going to sell them, that is a different game. That's all. We're just looking at what the games are. And so part of your homework between now and the next class is to talk to the person in the office. She's wearing several hats in the org chart. When she is in a hat that is a sales function or a booking function, there may be a bonus associated with that position. And she may be holding more than one position. So instead of trying to, you know, it may seem uncomplicated to give her one overarching bonus, but if you're going to grow your company, would she be moving out of a box or would someone else be moving into a box? Let's look a little broader, and the simpler approach may be to associate bonuses with individual positions, even if she holds several.
That makes sense.
Isn't this fun?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's something for you to noodle between now and next week. So I hope that this is communicating why we want to customize this, why we want to make it work for you. I can bounce ideas off of you. Oh, I just saw someone I want to say hi to. Linda, I'm unmuting you, so get ready. Take a sip of your coffee. Spit it out. Oh, I don't think you can be heard, darn it. Your mic isn't on. My buddy Linda Russell's on. I bossed her around a bit about how to pay people. I'm glad you're here, sister. Yay. All right. Yay. Scott just wrote, we've been at this game for 25 years. So glad to finally decide to develop the systems and compensation plans necessary to continue to grow and pass the company to the next generation. Oh, Scott, I'm going to end the class with that. That is lovely, and thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome. Oh, I just saw Linda come on and then go off. So you were making it work. Sorry about that. Hey, I'm going to say goodbye and love, 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 so we can end on time. My encouragement is that you join in on this program. I can help you make sense of the way that you pay. Now is the time. Plant the oak tree. Reap the benefits. Never be held hostage. Help people develop. It's such an awesome adventure, and I invite you to join us on it. $597, and you click on the link in the chat. If Victoria would put them in the question box again. She's got them in there. If you scroll up on the answers, you'll see the links there too. Non-members of the Inner Circle, $597. If you are an Inner Circle member, $497. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, indicate that, and Victoria will help you with that as well. So I wish you love, peace, lots of money, and the freedom that caused you to start your business in the first place. And may you and your team and your future team members continue to expand and grow and make your dreams come true. Thanks, everybody. Love, love, love.